Where in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is the saving message found? That's what Bob and Sean are going to talk about today on this episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts this show together. And I'm really glad that you've decided to join us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. If you'd like to reach out to us with your own questions, you can do that by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar as they handle this interesting question. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We're continuing to answer the questions that you're sending us at radio@faithalone.org. And we don't have an answer for every single question that you have. I mean, I'm happy to say I don't know.
Right.
You're a little bit less happy to say that, but even you have to admit sometimes
Amen.
That you don't know.
I do. I say that.
The Bible is a big book. It is a rich book. It's an inexhaustible book. So if you have a hard question that's always been bothering you, be sure to send it to us at radio@faithalone.org. For example, Florin asks, where in Matthew, Mark, or Luke do the writers actually talk about salvation from hell or give a salvation from hell presentation message? Now, Florin leaves out John for
right.
an obvious reason.
Right. John's gospel is evangelistic. Now, it's interesting because he raises the point salvation from hell. And John primarily talks, the Lord Jesus in John primarily talks about everlasting life,
mm-hmm.
or he'll state it in ways like shall never hunger, shall never thirst, shall never die, shall never perish. When he does talk about not perishing or not being condemned or shall not come into judgment,
yeah.
those do refer to not being sent to the lake of fire.
Well, it's the opposite of eternal life,
right?
Right.
But for the most part, the emphasis is on the positive. You mm-hmm. have everlasting life, etc. There are a few that talk about the not perishing. And, of course, Jesus doesn't really mention the lake of fire in John's gospel
right.
or hell or whatever. You're not seeing it in the fourth gospel because that's not an emphasis there. But in answer to Florence's question, I think it is clear that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we don't find any clear statements of how to be born again.
Like individual salvation, individual justification, eternal life. That's not the focus in the Synoptic Gospels.
Yeah, the Synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. For example, Jesus talks to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. That's
yeah.
not found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke.
Right, right.
He
right.
talks to the woman at the well in John 4. That's not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Right.
In fact, all of the evangelistic passages in John's gospel are not found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are written to believers about following Christ. John is written to unbelievers, John 20, 31, that they might believe and that by believing they would have life in Christ's name.
Well, I wonder if the focus is even maybe a little different than that. I mean, what is the message that Jesus preaches in the Synoptic Gospels? It's a different type of message it seems like those are focused on. Like in Mark, after Jesus comes out of the wilderness temptation in the first chapter, it says, now after John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel. But now people forget the next words, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. It seems like Mark, at least, is focused on this idea of the gospel of the kingdom, which is not the same as Jesus telling people how to have everlasting life.
Now, some people think it is, but I would agree with you. The good news of the kingdom is that the kingdom is drawn near. John mm-hmm. the Baptist said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You find it here in Mark 1, 14 and 15. You also find it in Matthew 3, 2 and 4, 17 in the teaching of Jesus. Those are corporate, calling the nation
right.
to turn from its sins, to believe the kingdom is drawing near, which means when they hear Messiah talking, they're going to believe in him because they believe that his forerunner, John the Baptist, has just said, and
right.
he himself has said, the kingdom is drawing near, and Jesus is calling himself the king,
right.
the Messiah. And so Matthew, Mark, and Luke are directed toward teaching about national salvation of Israel in terms of deliverance from Gentile rule and the benefits of following Christ. But John is the one that's evangelistic. Coming back to Florence's question, About 10 years ago, Pastor Bob Bryant from Marshall, Texas, gave a talk at our conference, and he said, specifically, we can't find a clear statement of justification by faith alone or salvation by faith alone in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It's just not there.
I mean, that's got to blow someone's mind. I mean, there's got to be some listener who's now opening up their Bible, and they're just like, I've got to find, there's got to be at least one example in there of justification by faith apart from works or something.
I would say there are some where if you know the message already, like from John's Gospel or from Paul's writings, you can say Matthew 7:21-23 is saying doing the will of the Father is believing in Jesus, and if you don't do that, then you're going to be excluded from the kingdom, even if you've done lots of works, even if you did the works in Jesus' name. Okay, you can see that, but it's not explicit in the telling in Matthew 7:21-23. And you might say, well, the same thing with Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom. Well, okay, maybe you could say, how do you get that? Well, by faith. But you have to get another book to tell you that. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me we don't have any examples.
Well, here's maybe one example that people might point out. It's Luke 18, parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector.
He's a Republican, isn't he?
Publican. Just
publican.
Although the Republicans are tax collectors, too.
There you go.
Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, does that teach salvation from hell by faith apart from works?
Well, until about 10 years ago, I thought this was the only place in Jesus' teaching where he talks about justification by faith alone.
Now, he doesn't mention faith in here.
He doesn't, but it's implicit.
He does use the word justified.
At least it seems to be implicit.
Right.
Okay. But he does use the word justified. However, I had a friend, Al Valdez, who wrote our commentary on Luke and Acts, and wrote this up to say the issue here wasn't forensic justification before God. This was vindication. This man was vindicated rather than the religious hypocrite. It wasn't a point on whether the Pharisee was born again or not, or whether this man is born again or not. It's saying this is the attitude that pleased God. And by the way, you were in the Orthodox Church for a time. I grew up on my mother's side in the Serbian Orthodox Church. We used to have choirs in the back that would sing Gospodi Pomiloi, mm-hmm. and I never knew what that meant. It's old Slavonic. I thought it was Serbian, but it's actually something proto-Russian. And Gospodi Pomiloi basically means God be merciful to me.
Yeah, that's right.
It's this statement repeated.
Right.
Unfortunately, Orthodoxy doesn't always give a clear answer that's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
No, what they think that means is you try your best. As long as you're trying your best, God is going to have mercy and save you on the basis of your works, even though your works aren't great. God's merciful. That's not the kind of mercy that God shows, but
no.
Anyways.
But in this statement in Luke 18:9-14, I think the issue is the wrong attitude was the one of the Pharisee, the right attitude was the publican or the tax collector, and that man was vindicated. I just saw an article in our magazine by Lucas Kitchen, and he suggested that in this passage, the tax collector was a man who was already born again. And that this talks about his vindication and it relates to rewards. In light of many other scriptures, for example, James 4:4 and 1 Peter 4:6, it says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And so there is in scripture, and you see the same thing in Proverbs and here, that God exalts those who humble themselves and he humbles those who are prideful and arrogant. And isn't that one of the sins that God really hates is pride? And isn't that what brought Satan down?
Sure.
Because he was so proud. Now, most likely, by the way, this Pharisee's an unbeliever. I see no evidence this guy is a believer. But hypothetically, he could be a believer or an unbeliever, but his attitude's clearly wrong. The other man, we're not told if he's a believer or an unbeliever, but it wouldn't surprise me if he's a believer. His attitude is certainly a good one.
So can you tell us very simply, what is the difference between forensic justification and vindication?
Okay, forensic means legal. Forensic justification is the act whereby God the Father declares the sinner righteous. To see that really worked out, look in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, till the end of chapter 4. And there he says that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's not by works, Romans 4, 4, and 5. It's not something God owes the sinner.
Right.
It's a free gift. It's simply by faith. Forensic justification is a forensic declaration of us having right standing with God. However, vindication is not in terms of our position. That's what forensic is. It's our position in Christ. This is experiential. In the book of James, we're told that Abraham was justified by works when he offered up Isaac. Basically, that should be translated as Abraham was vindicated before man when he offered him up. And in fact, even Paul says that in Romans 4, 2. He says, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about,
but not before God.
Yeah.
So it seems
to me vindication is experiential. And it's before man. Justification is God declaring us in our position righteous. And they're two different things. And the same word, dikaiō, can refer to justification or vindication.
Right. So this tax collector's humility is what vindicated him before God. Like that's the right attitude to take.
Absolutely.
And by the way, that reminds me, in the January-February issue of Grace and Focus, which we'd love to give you a free subscription to, we're publishing Zane Hodges' commentary in Romans 2, and it talks about all of this stuff.
Yeah, right. So check it out. They can order at faithalone.org. It's free.
You can get the magazine for free. You can get that commentary online at faithalone.org in our bookstore, or you can get a condensed version of it in our brand new revised Grace New Testament commentary available at our store. Thanks for tuning in. We hope to see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about when Christians divorce. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.